half of July, and so for that, do you know?
No, it's not.
No, of course not, but I know, it's not gonna be.
Yeah.
I just have to decide if I should cancel one.
Well, I don't need.
Yes.
Right.
All right, good evening, everyone. I'm sorry, hopefully it'll get a little bit warmer here in just a few moments. Okay, so we find ourselves tonight in the ninth bracha. So the, if we take a look at number one, so the ninth bracha is what we call the bracha of parnasa, the bracha of livelihood. So we say in the Shemona Esrei, Baruch Alinu Hashem Elokeinu Es Hashana Hazos, Ve'es Kol Minei Tevuos Salitova. Bless this year for us, Lord our God, and all of its types of produce for good. Again, here, of course, is the insertion depending on the time of year. V'sein bracha, or v'sein tal umatar livracha, we'll just go v'sein tal umatar livracha, grant dew and rain as a blessing. Al pnei adama, on the, that should be on the face of the earth, I'm sorry. V'saveinu mituvecha, and from its goodness satisfy us. Uvarech shnaseinu kashanim hatovos, and from a blessing our year as the best of years. Baruch atah Hashem mevarech hashanim. Blessed are you, our Lord, who blesses the years. So the basic gist of the bracha is we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately for parnasa. We're asking for livelihood. Obviously, this is phrased in an agricultural way, you know, which sounds strange for us, but to remember again that for the Jew throughout history, again, generally, he made his parnasa through agriculture, not through being a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant or anything else. Very often, remember, historically, those professions were often off-limits to Jews. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have many more opportunities than we've had in the past. But therefore, again, when the Jew davens for parnasa, when the Jew davens for a livelihood, the way it's phrased ultimately is that Kodesh Baruch Hu, give me agricultural plenty. Give me agricultural blessing. So before we get into the actual text of the bracha, I want to share with you something that I think is an underlying current in this bracha. So first of all, again, our shir tonight, sponsored by Richard Simon, in memory of his grandmother, Elka Freda Bas Chana, Alei HaShalom, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah Neshama will have an aliyah, and by the Toso family, in memory of Karen's father, Elio Gershon Ben Five Ala Kohen Zichrono Lebracha, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah Neshama will have an aliyah. So again, in number two, so just so you understand the underlying tension in the bracha. So if you look at number two, so this is going back to Bereishis. The Torah says, Ula Adam Amar, ki sham'at l'kol ishtecha, v'atocha mina'it asher tzivisicha le'mor lo socha menu, arura ha'adama ba'avurecha, b'tzavon tochlana kol yimei chayecha. So God says to Adam the following. Remember, this is after Adam eats from the forbidden fruit. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam, because you did not do what I asked you to do, or better stated, because you violated my word, you ate from that which you were not supposed to, the ground will be cursed because of you. Be'itzavon, literally with toil, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. V'kotz v'dardar tatzmiach, you will cause thorn and thistles to grow for you. Va'achalta es esev hasod, and you will eat the herbs of the field. Bezeas apecha tochal lechem, with the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Ad shuvcha al ha'el ha'adama ki mimenu lukachta, ki afar ata ve'el afar tashuv. Literally, with the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for you were taken therefrom, from dust you are, and dust you into dust you will return. So what's amazing is this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam Rishon, as a result of your disobedience, Bezeas apecha tochal lechem, through the sweat of your brow, you will eat. Only through the sweat of your brow will you eat food. And if you look at the Mefarshim, if you look at number three, for example, the Medrash writes, Bezeas apecha tochal lechem, mikan b'magnu, what do we learn from here? She'il mali lo chata Adam. Listen to this beautiful Medrash. Had Adam not sinned, Haisa ha'aretz motzia glus kos, the earth would have produced glus kos, are cakes. The earth would have produced cake. Now, what does that mean? What the Medrash is saying is something amazing. The notion that we have to toil in order to go out and produce food. And remember, even once we toil, it's not like we're automatically given a finished product. But again, we have to often take the raw material and create food out of it. that wasn't the way the natural world was supposed to be. Originally, the way it was supposed to work is that food would literally come in its finished state right from the earth. Right from the earth. But as a result of Adam HaRishon's sin, so according to the Medrash, Pizyasapach HaTocha Alecha means you'll have food. You'll have food. But you're going to have to work very hard to have that food. And even if your field yields an agricultural bounty, that's not the end of the process. You then have to take those raw materials and make a finished product from them. Look at number four, the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra writes, Pizyasapach, with the sweat of your brow, you will go ahead. With the sweat of your brow, you will go ahead and eat bread. This is number four, Ibn Ezra. Kitzarech lizroa, same thing. Same thing with liktzor, ulahaber velitchon velalo shlefos. Because if you think about it again, the process is involved just with making bread, right? You have to first make the furrows, then you have to seed the ground, then you have to reap, then you have to harvest, then you have to grind, then you have to knead, then you have to bake. That's what it means, b'zias hapach hatoch alechem. You'll have bread, you'll have produce, you'll have food. But there are so many steps, there are so many things you have to do in order to be able to get your finished product. Number five, Dradak, Bezias Apacha Tocha Lechem, Impirta Le'echo Lechem. If you want to eat bread, Tochlena Biyegia Aza, you're going to have to work very hard. Ad Sheyetse Me Apacha Zeya Merov HaYegia. You're going to have to break a sweat in order to earn a Parnassa. So what you see coming from all of these Mefarshim is an incredible idea. That the sin of Adam HaRishon yields an incredible reality. Meaning, you have to understand one thing. Sometimes we have a little bit of a childish view as to what Gan Eden, what did life look like pre-sin? Meaning, what would the world have looked like had Adam HaRishon not sinned? Let's say Adam and Chava didn't eat from the forbidden food. What would the world have looked like? So we often have this idea of immortality, which of course we spoke about last week or 2 weeks ago. That's not true. Immortality, remember, we said is the worst thing God could have ever done for mankind. And we think about that Adam's going to be sitting around. It's not true. Man was always created to work. As the Pasuk says, Adam la'amal yulad. Man was created to work. Man was created to toil. Because if you think about it, what happens when people don't work? They get themselves into trouble. And when I say work, I just mean people don't have things to occupy their time. If you have no responsibilities, if you have nothing on your shoulders, you tend to get into a lot of significant trouble. So therefore, again, what the Mefarshim are highlighting over here, what was supposed to happen in the pre-sin world is that you would work, namely, you'd put in your effort, and what would happen? You would get the desired results. That's the difference. And you'd get, perhaps, instantaneous results. B'zeas apecha tocha lecha means you're going to have to work very hard. You're going to have to break a sweat. You want to accomplish your goals. There are multiple steps, multiple tiers, multiple levels until you ultimately reach that particular goal. That, says the Mefarshim, is the sin, is the result of the sin of Adam and Chava. Take a look at number six. Rav Shachar Lefar Hirsch says, he says the following. Accordingly, not by the sweat of your body, your hands, or even panecha, but b'zeas apecha you shall eat bread. Your godlike countenance, the seat of the mind, of insight, of all divine light, which should express all your mastery of the world, will you have to direct to obtaining your daily bread. Now, first here makes a very interesting observation. You know, normally we say b'zeas apecha means the sweat of your face, the sweat of your brow. So interesting, Rav Hirsch writes that if Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to say face, say the word face, there are better words for face, like panim. Apecha, Rav Hirsch understands, doesn't just mean face, it also means your mind. Your mind, apai means your intellect. So Rav Hirsch is saying it's not just the pshat that man's body is devoted to securing his daily bread, but it preoccupies man's mind, his intellect. Everything in life becomes about making my parnasa. The whole lamentable condition of gaining scanty substance in Itzavon is expressed in the little word lechem. Listen to this. Sustenance is called taref, inasmuch as it has to be snatched in the struggle with nature. Lechem, root of milchama, at the same time, it has to go through the struggle for existence against fellow men, the struggle of all against all. Did we not have to direct our minds so much to obtaining our daily bread, strife between man and man would not be so preeminent, and the idea of property would not weigh so heavily in the scales. This is amazing. Rav Hirsch writes that what happened as a result of the sin of Adam is we become preoccupied with Parnassa. Now, I want to point out, if you want to see just a stark example of this, so very often, right, what's one of the earliest conversations that people often have with children? Like one of the first questions we ask our kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Now, you understand, like, I often wonder, like, why in the world do we ask our children that question? Like, they're kids, why do they have to, what they're going to be? Because with, I think what that ultimately is reflecting is a preoccupation with livelihood. We are preoccupied with parnassa. We are preoccupied with our daily bread because it's a struggle. Because each of us has to struggle. Even if you have a lot of parnassa, you have to struggle to be able to get it. If you don't have a lot of parnassa, you have to struggle to be able to make. Again, parnassa is the ultimate struggle. So even when we interact with our children, we already begin, I don't think it's a conscious question, but you're already asking our children almost on a subliminal level, how do you plan on contending with the challenge of parnassa? And that's why sometimes when our children give some outlandish answers, right? So again, this is where you have to exercise good parenting, because a parent should never tell their children you can't do that. Or even if the child says he wants to be the kitchen sink, you know, you want to be the kitchen sink, that's wonderful, beautiful, that's great. So you want to make things clean, fantastic. A parent should never tell, because again, the truth is, part of the job of a parent is to lift their child up, and the child's supposed to feel like they can accomplish anything. When the child says, I want to be an astronaut, the parent should never say, come on, really, what are you going to do? Lock, doctor, lawyer, whatever. My kids want to be an astronaut? Incredible. What they're going to be, or whatever. A professional basketball player, learning cola, whatever it is. Support. But the idea is, even as adults, when we look at our children, we worry. Because we are so preoccupied with parnassa, understandably so, that we worry, again, even from a very young age, what our children are going to be able to do to support themselves in this world. And Rav Hirsch takes us a step further. He says that it's really this quest for parnassa that is often responsible for incredible tension that exists within the community of mankind. The truth is, again, in the greater world, there is often a feeling that there's a pie, and there's a limited number of slices to it. And so if you don't fight to get your piece of the pie, someone else is going to take it from you. It creates this sense of tension between people. If left unchecked, it could create incredible greed. Wars are fought between nations. Why? For money, for resources, for lechem. So says Rav Hirsch, you have to understand something. Rav Hirsch is taking this a step further. Rav Hirsch is saying, it's not just like what we saw in number 3, 4, and 5, that Adam has to work hard for his parnassa. No. The curse of Adam HaRishon is that man, post-sin, becomes preoccupied with parnassa. My entire life is devoted to parnassa. The entire emphasis of my existence, how many people give up their dreams, give up their happiness, give up meaning for the sake of money? Not, by the way, not in a bad way, because you have to. Because sometimes I have wonderful dreams, but if what I want to do, you know, sometimes what I want to do with my life is a wonderful thing. There's only one little problem, which is it doesn't, you have to eat, right? It doesn't pay the bills. And so what happens? So there are some people that are able to make it a go and still live their dreams, but a lot of people have to figure out how can I be practical and ultimately pay my bills. Put bread on the table. And again, there's an element of tragedy in that. Because then when a person loses out on his whole life of dreams, why? Because lechem. Because I need food. But at the same time, we can't live life without lechem. So if Hirsch says again, b'zeas apecha tocha lechem, means literally the sweat of your mind, the sweat of your intellect, your entire life, your entire gestalt, your entire essence is going to be preoccupied with parnassa. Strife in the community of mankind is going to come about because of parnassa. Look how our first finishes. He says, after part of every man's existence depends on every little piece of bread which he must gain with itzavon, with sacrificing something for it. After he has struggled to wrest it from nature, he at once starts the struggle with his fellow man to keep that which he has won, or even earlier, to get ahead of him at the source in nature. The ongoing struggle of first acquiring the bread, maintaining the bread, and ultimately trying to acquire some more tomorrow. So here, why, yes?
I don't want, I find it not back to the topic, but I just want to ask you a question. Is there a medrash that initially Adam was supposed to be like eating like the donkeys and the horses, the grass and the field?
Correct.
And he said to Hashem that it was below him. So what did God give him? This would be
Know. The medrash that I've seen is a medrash that says that originally man was supposed to have his sustenance provided for him in the same way that the animals have it. The same way that the animal goes out to pasture and the animal doesn't have to do anything with the grass. It just eats the grass. It's ready to eat. So man, not eat grass. And that's why, again, the Medrash says in number 3, the earth was going to go ahead and put forth gluskos. The earth was going to put forth these cakes. So the way it was supposed to work in the original scheme of things is the same way that the animals have prepared food, man was also supposed to have prepared food.
Man, from what I heard, now if I'm wrong, is that man went to God and said, I don't know.
It could be. It could be.
I
never saw that medrash, but it could very well be.
Yeah.
It could very well be. So the reason I'm bringing all this down for you is because now you understand the intensity of the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. The bracha of Baruch Aleinu is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a material being that is preoccupied with parnasa. It's true. There are some people that are on a very high spiritual level that they're able not to think about these things. And they're able to do with their life, you know, what they feel they need to do with their life. And hopefully all the pieces fall into place. Either that or they have a rich father-in-law. One of the two. But the idea ultimately is that this bracha represents the preoccupation. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu, Es Hashana Hazos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think about lechem. I think about lechem in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. I'm always thinking about lechem. And you know what's even more stressful about lechem, about the parnosa is, and this is the great variable, is you know that in the world of lechem, the world of parnosa, the world of livelihood, a person could do all the right things and not necessarily reap the benefits. There are plenty of people who work very hard, very hard. And you know what? They still don't have enough lechem. It's not because of a lack of effort. Maybe it's a lack of mazel, or maybe it's whatever it is, but you could do everything right. And again, that's all part of the punishment of Adam. What God says to Adam is, you are always going to work hard. But the difference is, what you put in, you would get out. Now, in the post-Adam, in the post-sin world, you could put in a lot, and you know what? You may still only get out very little. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu, Es Hashana Hazos, Ves Komei Tvoa Solo Tova, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Please, I'm asking you, I'm preoccupied with Lechem, and I'm asking you to help me with my Lechem. Take a look at number 7. So to continue on this theme a little bit, what I also want to bring to your attention is something interesting. So let's spend a little bit of time just on the text of the bracha itself. So we say, Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu, Es Hashana Hazos, Ves Komei Tvoa Solo Tova. So we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bless us this year, Lord our God, and all of its types of produce for good. What's the problem? Right, I'm saying, what else is a blessing for? What else is a blessing? I mean, why do you need to put in there Letova? Once you say, Hashem, Baruch Aleinu, bless this year for us, and all of its types of produce, period. Obviously, it's a blessing. A divine blessing, we're of course asking for good. Why do you have to add in the word for good, Letova? So if you look at number 7, I think, again, this also highlights a very interesting idea. So what happens? This is for the Torah from the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai. So the Torah says the following. In Bechukosai telechu, ve'es misosai tishmor va'asisem osam. So these psukim, probably out of all the psukim, have always greatly intrigued me for reasons that I'll share with you in just a moment. So the Torah says, if you walk in my ways, and you keep my mitzvot va'asisem osam, and you do them. So what does the Torah say? V'nasati gishmecha bi'itan, I will give you your rains in the appropriate time. V'nasnaha aretz yivula, the earth will give forth its bounty, its produce. V'eitz hasada yitin pirio, and the tree of the field will give forth its fruit. V'esig lachem da'ish espotzir, ubatzir yasig es zera, v'achaltem lachem echem l'soy. So what happens? And the threshing will last until the vintage will last until the sowing, and you'll eat your food to satiety, and you will live securely in your land. So what is the Torah saying? The Baruch Hu essentially says, listen to my Torah, listen to my mitzvot, and what will happen? I will take care of your material needs. Everything you need materially will be taken care of. Now what's intriguing about this is if you look at number 8, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin says the following. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakovi, Damer, Schar Mitzvah Bahai Amaleka. So the Gemara says the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov is there is no reward for mitzvos in this world. There's reward, of course, for mitzvos, but we get truly rewarded for mitzvos in the world to come, not in this world. And the Gemara goes on. The son Rabbi Yaakov Omer, In lecha mitzvah u'mitzvah sheksuva b'torah, shematar schara b'tzida, she'ein tchiyas ha'mesim tuliba. Literally, what Rabbi Yaakov is saying is the following. Now, how can Rabbi Yaakov say that there is no reward for mitzvos in this world? After all, there are some mitzvos that the Torah explicitly states reward for. Right? So the Torah says, for example, we'll see in just a moment, shiluach ha'kein, sending away the mother bird. The Torah says, if you send away the mother bird before you take the chicks, before you take the eggs, what does the Torah say? Leman ya'arichu yamecha, you'll have longevity. Kaved es avicha ve'esimecha, honor your mother and father, you'll have longevity. So what does Rabbi Yaakov say? Rabbi Yaakov says, leman ya'arichu yamecha, longevity does not apply in this world. That's not what the Torah is referring to. He says, what does it refer to? It refers in the world to come, olam haba. That if you do these mitzvos, you will enjoy a beautiful and eternal olam haba. But says Rabbi Yaakov, there is no reward for mitzvos in this world. Now, what's the problem?
Rabbi
Yaakov, very nice, but what do you do about number seven? Because the Torah says explicitly in the beginning of Parashas Bichukosai that if you follow in my ways and do what I ask you to do, God promises us material blessing, which of course seems to indicate that what? That there is material blessing in this world. So how could Rabbi Yaakov say there is no material blessing? And to compound the question, look at number nine. Famous Mishnah Maseches Sabos. Antigonus. Ish Socho. Kibel Mishimon HaTzadik. Antigonus, who was from the city of Socho, had the following tradition from Shimon HaTzadik. What was the tradition? Who are you, Omer? Altiyu ka'avadim ha'mishamshin asarav amanas l'kabal pras. Do not be like servants who worship the master for the sake of receiving reward. Ela, but rather you should be like servants who worship the master, not for the sake of receiving reward. So if I were to ask you, according to Antigonus, is there a reward for mitzvos in this world, what would you say?
Yes.
Right, what he's saying, it seems to be the answer is yes, because what is he saying? He's saying even though there's reward, don't worship the master, don't worship God for the reward you're going to receive. Rather, just worship God for the sake of worshiping God. So what I'm pointing out over here is you see almost three different schools of thought. The Torah itself seems to indicate that there is reward. Walk in my ways. I'm going to give you rain. I'm going to give you wheat. I'm going to give you wine. Rabbi Yaakov, there's no reward for mitzvos in this world. Antigonus, there is reward, but what? But don't focus on it. Don't let that be the motivation for everything you do in serving God. So the obvious question is, so what is it? So which is the reward? Isn't there a reward? Now again, maybe you'll say, who cares? Maybe it doesn't matter, because maybe what Antigonus is saying is, whether there is a reward or there isn't a reward is really inconsequential. Because whether there is a reward or not a reward, either way, that can't be the motivation for your service. What I do, I have to do because I want to serve the Ribono Sholom, and that's it. But if you take a look at number 10, Rabbi Yitzchak, a Berdichev has a beautiful insight. And the Rebbe writes the following. He says, V'nasati gishmechem b'itam. He's commenting over here on number 7 of Parshas Bichul Kosai. And he says, Machmas shedibarnu mikodem, m'inyan schar mitzvah, ki gam bazeh kasha, halos schar mitzvah v'hai amaleka. So the Rebbe asks our question. And the Rebbe says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you say that if I keep the mitzvahs, I'm going to get rewarded, when the Torah Sheba'al Peh, in the oral law, the Gemara says, that there's no reward for mitzvos in this world? To which the Rebbe responds, V'nir l'taritz, meha de'isa b'pirkei avos, schar mitzvah mitzvah. And the Rebbe goes on to say something amazing. The Rebbe says, when Rabbi Yaakov says that there's no reward for mitzvos in this world, what does he mean? Does he mean that if I do mitzvos, good things don't happen? That's not what he means. What Rabbi Yaakov is saying is, the power of a mitzvah is such that the bounty that a mitzvah creates is too great to be experienced in this world. That's what it means, schar mitzvah by high amaleka. You cannot receive the true reward for mitzvahs in this world. You know, there's a famous story. I think I may have mentioned it before. There's a famous story. There was once a wealthy, a Jewish atheist who was very the best atheists are Jews. Right? He says, a Jewish atheist who was very wealthy came over to Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Abedishev, and he said to the Rebbe, Rebbe, I have much respect for you as a person, but your Torah is false. So Rebbe said, tell me, how do you know it's false? He quoted from Shema, he said, because he says in Shema, V'haya im shamoa tishemu al mitzvosai, if you will listen to my mitzvos, and again, kind of like Parshas Bikosai, what does the paragraph go on to say? That God is going to give us all of this material blessing. And the man says to the Rebbe, but Rebbe, I have to tell you something, I don't believe in a thing, I don't do anything, and yet I'm fabulously wealthy. So the Rebbe says to him, the fact that you can ask me that question indicates that you've recited Kriya Shema at least one time in your life, and there's not enough money in the world to reward you for that one mitzvah. So what the Rebbe is saying over here is the following. When we say that there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world, what that means is we often don't appreciate the power of a mitzvah. A mitzvah, and it doesn't matter what mitzvah is so great that there is no way for God to adequately reward us for that wondrous spiritual act within the physical, material, limited, temporal confines of this world. And as such, we can only reap the true benefit of mitzvahs in the world to come. What is number 7 saying? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "In b'chukos saitelech, if you walk in my ways, then I'll go ahead and give you all this material blessing." Or "V'hayam shema tishmo mitzvosai," like we say in Shema, if you listen to my mitzvos, I'll give you the material blessing. The Rebbe says so beautifully, when you do good things, it means I make a choice about how I want to live my life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I'm sincere enough, and many other factors, I'm sure go into this as well, God rewards me with material blessing. But not as an ends. Not as an ends, but rather as what? As a means to continue to do beautiful spiritual life work. Meaning, we know, we all could relate to this, that sometimes the greatest obstacle to spirituality is materialism. But it's often not excess materialism, it's a lack of materialism. Meaning, when a person has to struggle with parnasa, when a person has to struggle with livelihood, that is all-consuming. You know, there are two things the Gemara says that take up all of a person's energies. When a person's dealing with a health issue and when a person's dealing with a parnasa issue. Those are things that call on all of your emotional reservoirs. And very often a person has nothing left to devote to anything else. Says the Rebbe, when the Jew asks for material blessing, what the Jew is asking for is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's the deal. Help me with my parnasa. Take care of my material needs because if I don't have to worry about the lechem, then guess what? I'm going to devote myself to you. If I don't have to keep schwitzing in order to put bread on the table and it comes a little bit easier and a little bit more plentiful than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that free time, that excess emotional energy that I have, I'm going to devote all of that to you. And says the Rebbe, that's what it means in number 7. God is saying, Im b'chukos saitelechu. Is if you make a conscious decision to lead and to live a good spiritual life, and you make a conscious decision that you want to devote yourself to me, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'nasati gishmechem bi'itam. I will give you the reins. It's not your reward for the mitzvah. I'll give you the weed. It's not your reward for the mitzvah. But rather, what is it? It's the material blessing to enable you to continue to engage in spiritual pursuits. It's not the reward for the mitzvah. And that's why, again, Rabbi Yaakov in number 8 in the Maseches Kiddushin is not contradicting the Torah. Rabbi Yaakov is saying you can't get real reward for mitzvahs in this world because mitzvahs are too great. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give me material blessing as a way, ultimately, if my desire is sincere to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then God could give me that material blessing, not as a reward, but as a way of enabling me to continue to engage in beautiful spiritual service. And in fact, if you take a look at number 8, so in the Sefer Nesiv Bina, he says very beautifully that this is the meaning of Litova. Remember, again, we were trying to figure out why does it say, Baruch Adonai Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hashem Azos, Ves Komeis V'Asa Litova. If I'm asking God for blessing, why do I have to ask Him for blessing for good? Look at number 11, so beautiful. He says, Shefas habrocha tihiyat litova lechazek es yardenu lihios pinuyim lilmot chachmas haTorah velaasos samitza sheva hemniska lechay olav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me the flow of blessing down to this world so it should be for good. What does that mean? To strengthen my hand, to allow me to go and learn Torah, to allow me to do mitzvos, in order that I can merit the world to come. Ki al arov, shefa sabrachos heim sibos lazir. So listen to this. You know what Latova means? We'll go back to number one for just a moment. Here's what we're saying. Baruch aleinu Hashem Elokim nas hashana hazos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, I'm asking you, grant, right, bless this year for us all its types of produce that's coming to Latova. Why do I have to add in Latova? Because what the Nesid Bina is suggesting is, had it just said, Baruch aleinu Hashem Elokim nas hashana hazos, that's coming to Svasa, I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for material blessing. What does it look like? What am I asking for? What?
Give me and I'll serve you.
Well, that's Tova. But without the Tova, I would have said, give me. I want stuff. I want Lechem. Right? I want to enjoy Lechem. That's not why the Jew asks for materialism. The Jew, we doubt, remember, I often say we're not an ascetic people. We're not an ascetic people. We actually believe in enjoying nice things. We believe in using them appropriately. We believe in enjoying all the beautiful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in this world in appropriate moderation. When we add in the word Latova, we're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is give me this material blessing. Baruch aleinu Hashem Elokeinu nas hashana hazos. That's coming to give me all the wheat, give me all the lechem. Why? Latova. Because I want to do something good with it. Meaning, as a result of you, God, giving me this material blessing, as a result of me not having to constantly be preoccupied with my lechem, guess what? I'll have the emotional bandwidth, the emotional wherewithal to do good things. Give me the, again, I want to be clear, it's not like a condition, because if God doesn't give me the material blessings, I still have to do the good things. I have to figure it out some way, somehow. But it certainly makes it a lot easier if I'm materially comfortable. If my needs are taken. Remember, we're not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for abundant wealth. If God blesses you with abundant wealth, wonderful. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, allow me to have material blessing in a way that doesn't cause me to be preoccupied with lechem. Why? Litova. So that I can then do good things for you. If you free me up a little bit from the constant worry and preoccupation about parnasa, Ribono Shel Olam, I will be able to do more good for you. That's the Latova. That's the Latova. If you take a look at number 12, so today is a little bit further. So what's interesting as well is this seems to be a little bit redundant. If you go back for a moment to number 1, just for 1 second. So now we have Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu nas hashana hazos. That's culminate for the Latova. The same Talmud Livracha. V'sabenu mituvecha. V'sabenu mituvecha. And from your goodness, really, from your goodness, satisfy us. What does that mean? What does it mean, mituvecha? Remember, we've already asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bless, give us a good, bless us this year, give us ultimately all the types of produce for good. Why again do you have to say, and satisfy us, mituvecha, from your good? Take a look at number 12. So again, in the Siv Bina, he says so beautifully, he quotes Rabbi Yonasan Aibushitz. So Rabbi Yonasan Aibushitz, Besifro Yaros Devash, Melamed Sanigaria al Hagir Samikubelas Mituvach. Skip down a little bit. He says, Veila Midrav, third line. Ulakach Ra'ui Bitfilas Shachris Alkal Ponit. Losum El Libo, Lashem. Sheyachrif Lo Lechem Chuko Behetrav Lo Be'Isr. Rabbi Yonasan Aibushitz says, when we dive in this bracha for Parnasa, it's not just enough to dive for Parnasa. Rather, we have to ask God to give us our Parnasa in a state of Heter and not Isr. There are plenty of ways to make money. And in fact, they say some of the fastest ways to make money are not necessarily the legal means to make money. So we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just that I want parnasa. I want parnasa beheter. I want it to come to me in permissible ways. I don't want it in shadowy ways, shady ways. I don't want it in appropriate ways. I want to be materially comfortable, but I want to be materially comfortable in a way that doesn't compromise my spirituality. It's very interesting. Rabbi Yonasan Aibushitz writes that if I earn my money inappropriately and then I use that money to support myself, I will never find a state of fulfillment in that parnasa. I might have certain creature comforts, certain physical comforts, but my nisham will never feel at peace. My food is obtained permissibly, properly. Then not only do I sustain my body, but I also sustain my soul. Says Rabbi Yonasan Aibushitz, that's what it means when we say, Sustain us mituvecha. Mituvecha means what? Sustain us in a good way. I want parnasa, but I want appropriate parnasa. I want parnasa, but I don't want to compromise my ideals and my beliefs to be able to get such an incredible idea that the Jew does not believe in financial success at any cost. I don't want my material success to come at the cost of my soul. So now, what we have over here so far is just some incredible ideas. We have, number one, again, this idea that ultimately what the bracha operates against the backdrop of the post-sin world, where man is constantly preoccupied with lechem, man constantly has to toil, and not just use his body, but his intellect has to schwitz ultimately over parnasa. Everything he does somehow has to be rooted in the sense of parnasa. Why do we have to add in the word letova? Ultimately, because what we're saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is I'm asking you for parnasa, but again, I'm not asking you for materialism as an end. I'm asking you for materialism as a means. It's an amazing idea. This is the greatness of Judaism. I want the materialism. I want the material blessing, but I want it because if I'm comfortable and I don't constantly have to schwitz over parnasa, I will be able to do more good for you. Similarly, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I don't just want the parnasa. I want it to be mituvecha. I want it to come in a way that doesn't compromise my soul. Because to have a lot of money, but in the course of earning that money to compromise my spirituality, says of Yonas and Ibishitz, your body might enjoy the money, but your soul never will. And that comfort and that security that you hope to have from your materialism will never come from material wealth that is gained at the expense of one's spirituality. Take a look at number 13. So I want to share with you two other shorter approaches that are more like global approaches to the bracha. So number 13 is Rav Hirsch. And Rav Hirsch, he writes something very beautiful. He says, Baruch Halim, this is Rav Hirsch's commentary on the Siddur. Baruch Halinu, stress is placed here on both Aleinu and Letova. Right? We say, Baruch Halinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bless for me, bless or bless on us, bless upon us, or convey upon us blessing, Letova, for good. For listen to what Rav Hirsch makes, such an interesting observation. He says, for a year, may be blessed and still not afford blessings to us. Such a year cannot then be a blessed one as far as we are concerned. It is quite possible for the soil to yield abundant produce and the fields to flourish without man benefiting therefrom. As our sages have put it, Hagefen titin pirya, vayayin biyoker, the vine may give of its fruits and still the wine may be expensive. Field and pasture may abound with luscious fruit and yet, because of human folly, and because of crookedness and perversity in human relationships, death and famine will hold sway and spoil our lives. Therefore, we ask God not only to bless the fields, but also to arrange circumstances in such a manner that the blessed year may provide a blessing to mankind also, and that the abundant harvest of field and pasture may thus bring happiness and prosperity to the homes of man. So this is such an incredible insight. What Rav Hirsch is highlighting is, we've been looking at this bracha as our request of parnasa from God. Rav Hirsch says there's another component of this. This is a mankind request, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, we know it's an amazing thing. You know, the world technically, America produces enough food that there should not be people going hungry. There shouldn't be hungry Americans. Again, if you look at the output of the volume we produce, this should not be, but there is. Why? Because often you can have the materialism, but you don't always have the wisdom to know how to get it to the places it needs to get to. So it says Rav Hirsch is something amazing. We don't just say Baruch, we don't just say blessed, we say Baruch Lein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, in order for us to receive material blessing, all of the various components of mankind have to work together in harmony. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give mankind the knowledge, not just to produce the material wealth, but to know how to allocate it appropriately, to know ultimately how to best serve the needs of the community of mankind, and to get that wealth where ultimately it needs to go. And I want to end off with one last piece that I think is going to forever change your conception of this bracha. You know, when we speak, you know, focusing a little bit on the end. So the bracha concludes, Baruch Atah Hashem Mevarich Hashanim. Blessed are you, God, who blesses, or blessed are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who blesses the years. So the word shana, we often translate as year. But I want to show you something very interesting. Take a look in 14 and 15. So this is from the Sefer Sifsei Chaim of Chaim Friedlander. I quoted from last week as well. So the Sifsei Chaim writes something beautiful. He says, Gam shana milashon shinui. The word shana doesn't just mean year. The word shana also means what? Change. And by the way, it's actually not two different words. The reason why shana also means years is because, again, time is constantly changing. Time is constantly elapsing. So the word ultimately that means year is also a word that means change, constant change. Lishanot, to change. Shinui, why? Ki b'chol shana yesh onos. Shevachol echa mehem mezik ab yoshona kor v'chom gisham v'yomesh. Remember, throughout the year, there are different seasons. And each season brings with it its own temperature, its own climactic realities. What happens? There's cold, there's heat, there's rain, there's dry. V'anu mevakshim shekala shinuim yilotova. V'zeu ma'ashonu omrim baruch aleinu as hashana azos es kol hashinuim sheba letova. So this is Chaim so beautifully. Baruch aleinu as hashana azos kodesh baruch hu. Throughout the entire year, with all of its changes, whatever changes, right? Whatever the seasonal changes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow us to see blessing in every part of the year. And how does the bracha end? Baruch Ato Hashem Mivarech Hashanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't just bless me in one part of the year, but as the year changes, as the season changes, as the seasons change, allow me to see blessing in every part of the year. But now look at 15. And get ready, because it's going to forever change your conception of the bracha. Says, this is Echaim so beautifully, Baruch Ata Hashem Mevarech Hashanim. Hashinuim. Again, same idea. Shana doesn't just have to mean year. Shana means change. Change. And here it's plural, by the way. Mevarech Hashanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one who blesses the years, which now we can also translate as what? Blesses the changes. What does that mean? Listen to how beautiful this is. Ki kol shinui gorin hefsit hatsura ve'eder achomer. Every change, literally translated, causes a hefsid, almost a diminution or a lack, or a lacking within the image, and a taking away of the material. Now, what does that mean? Hainu, kol shinui mehashigra alul ligrom lekalkel, lekilkul, ulaharos hamatzav l'umas ahove. Every change does one thing for sure, which is, it changes the present. I know, it's not a very profound statement, but again, every change brings in its wake change. Change, by definition, upsets the status quo. Kifi sheshagar b'lashon b'nei Adam, as people often say, halivai shelo yigaru yoser mi'amatzav ha'achshavi. What do people often say? People say, oh, it shouldn't get any worse. Meaning that human nature is such that even if my current circumstances are not great and they're compromised, but at least I know what they are. I could manage it, hopefully. And I just hope, I don't want it to get any worse. Ki kol chariga mimaslul hachayim haragil. Any deviation from the normal order of life. Tomein bechovo sikun, shema ha'osig yegaro yosemeh avar. This is an amazing thing. It says change always brings with it risk. What's the risk? The risk is that the future may not be as good as my present. Meaning, the present may not be that great either, but at least I know it, I'm contending with it, I'm handling it, but the future carries with it a real danger that it may even be worse than the present. But watch this, he says, Klalo shel davar, if there's one principle in life, it is, Adam choshesh mishinuyim. What do people dislike most in life?
Change.
People hate change. That was fast. Right? Change. People don't like change. And by the way, and you should know, this is not just old young, this is all ages. People, human beings don't like change. Again, there's a psychology behind that as well, which has to do with the fact that we like to live with the illusion of control. And change upsets that illusion. Change reminds me that often I'm not in control, and I don't like this. I might know subconsciously I'm not in control, but I like to think I'm in control. So he says, Adam Chosh, people are very wary of change, pen yura matzavo, out of the fear that my circumstances may become worse. And again, I want to be clear. What he's saying is even people who are not in the greatest of circumstances are still weary of change. Because again, my present circumstances might not be that great, but I know it. I know it. I know what to expect. I know how to handle it. Hopefully I can manage it. And any change, even if you promise me that with change, things will get better, I'm not so quick to jump on the bandwagon for that. Aval al kol panim, b'maslul ha-chayim ativi, kayomim shinui hazman b'chol onos ha-shana. But you know what's interesting? Is midei shana b'shana, kidugmas kaitz v'choref, ha-mashpim abriyos ha-adam v'ha-gashosav. So this is kind of something amazing. But change is an inevitable reality of life. Even those who resist change at some point in time must bend their knee before change, because often changes occur in life and life doesn't ask you if you're ready to change or if you'd like to change. Life just simply changes. So says this kind of something so beautiful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost programmed the very concept of change into the world. How did he do that? Through seasons. What do the seasons teach us? The seasons teach us that life changes, that life has to change. And it doesn't matter if you want change or you don't want change. Change is an inevitable part of the fabric of the human condition. Meaning, if you think about it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made one temperature, especially on a night like this. It doesn't sound so bad. I'm sorry? Right, and look what happens there. Right? So again, I'm saying if you look, most places don't have a stable temperature. They don't, I mean, even Eretz Yisrael. I'm saying if you look, there are seasons. There are seasons. Again, more dramatic, less dramatic. But it's amazing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has programmed seasons into the very fabric of the world to teach us the concept that you have to embrace change. Change is a good thing. It's scary. It's unnerving. It's can be very upsetting and turbulent, but it's a fact of life. And look what he says. Al-kach, anu mevakshim Hashem Yisparach, shekol ha-shinuyim ha-tevim, ha-mischalfim memeshech ha-shana, yihiyu lanu rak letova v'livracha, kifi shekosov, aval ha-kodesh baruch hu mevarech ha-shana betosef. Listen to how beautiful this is. So what do we say in this bracha? Borich ha-leinu Hashem Elokeinu, as ha-shana ha-zos letova. So what do we say? Baruch hu, give me blessing. But don't just give me blessing during this season. Give me blessing when? Throughout all of the seasons. And how does the bracha end? Baruch atah Hashem levarech Hashem. So it says, it's quite possible that Shanim over here doesn't just mean seasons. And Shanim over here doesn't mean years. What does it mean?
Changes.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu levarech Hashem. Bless my changes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are going to be many turbulent periods throughout my life. There are going to be many moments of upheaval. There are going to be many moments of change. Some that I invite, some that I resist, some that I want, some that I rally against. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have one request. Bless my changes. Whatever changes I have to undergo in life, whatever shanim, whatever shinuyim there are, just promise me you will help me maximize them and promise me that you will shower your divine blessing upon them. So what comes out so beautifully is we cover so much within this four-line bracha. On one hand, we give voice to our ongoing struggle with lechem. We give voice to the fact that we contend with the baggage of the sin of Adam HaRishon. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's so much more I want to be, so much more I want to do, but I can't get there because I'm preoccupied with putting the bread on the table. But if you would just help me out a little bit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm telling you, I can go ahead and what? I can go ahead and letova. I can do so much good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As important as my parnasa is, I'm not going to make that money. I'm not going to make that parnasa ultimately at any cost. It's got to be mituvecha. It's got to be right. It's got to be clear. I can't nourish my body at the expense of my soul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not just praying for myself. I'm praying for mankind. Rav Hirsch. Right? Give mankind the wisdom for the proper allocation of resources. I'm not arguing for socialism. I'm saying, again, but there's so much waste in the world, and there's so much greed, and so many things prevent the things that should get the people from getting killed. Give mankind the knowledge to deal with material blessing in the right way, and make sure, Baruch Aleinu, make sure some of that blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets to me. Shana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't just give me blessing. Baruch Hu, Hashem, Shana Hazos. Don't just bless me in one period. I need your divine blessing throughout the year. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if there's one thing I've learned from your natural world, if there's one thing I've learned from looking at your seasons, is that life is filled with perpetual change. I'm scared of change. I often resist change, but change is an inevitable part of life, and change is the most wonderful gift, because sometimes in those incredible moments of upheaval, new doors of beautiful life achievement are open. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as I watch the seasons go by, I am reminded, bless me with material blessing, but not just material blessing. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mevarech Hashem. As I encounter my changes, my shinuyi, my changes in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm scared. And during those changes, I often feel alone. Promise me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will be with me, and promise me that you will shower your divine blessing on each of those changes. All right, we'll stop here for tonight. And Yeretz Hashem, next week we continue with the 10th bracha.